coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube.
40, 45, 50, he's in open field, 20, 50, 10, 5, touchdown! It's a one-play drive!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Yeah, pretty tough one here in Berea. Browns coming off a 31-13 loss to the Titans. Not much can be salvaged from watching that game. I guess a few things, and we might attempt to do so at various times of the show. But for the most part, the story is just that, that the Browns had their worst performance of the season and were flat out shellacked by a better team. I mean, it was a matchup, and we said this going into the game, Titans are good. Titans are the best team that the Browns would be facing of the first four that they played, and the outcome went just like that. My feeling all along was that they had to play their best game for that to not happen, or for at least a win to occur. Did I see that kind of a lopsided blowout loss? No, I didn't. I thought the team was making some gradual and steady improvement, and this is the sort of game that gives you the feeling of a setback, definitely. You look at the offense, and you could come away with regression. 350 passing yards by the quarterback, very deceiving, because it did not result in anything more than 13 points. And we saw a lot of those being those dink and dunk kind of plays because they were being dictated to, the Browns were, by the Titans rather than vice versa. They weren't forcing the action. And there's a lot of reasons that that happened. We're going to get into that in our roundtable segment with Doug Deacon of the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers of the Associated Press. The three of us go pretty deep into yesterday's game and also take an overview of the first four games of the season now that we're heading into a bye, kind of a review segment. And Bernie Kosar will join us in a little bit to give his usually great observations and analysis, see what he thought about this game. But really, it was a mess in so many ways and unexpected in so many ways. There was kind of a sense of shock in the building over what took place. You've got to get past that. A little different, very different from the feeling after the week one loss to Cincinnati. You know, that felt like just that one felt awful for different reasons, because it was a game that the team had won or had in position to win and allowed to get away, and knew they should have won. This one, far different than that. This one, the Titans were steadily just widening that gap, and as the game progressed, you just didn't feel the Browns were going to have an answer, and those are, I think, are the worst feelings of all. All right, we are going to take your questions and Ask Vic, as we always do, on the Browns official Facebook page, and there's a bunch of them to get to. And they're all pretty pointed and edgy, and that's good. I mean, that's what this is about. We're gonna address this thing the way it has to be addressed. Trent via Facebook asks, Greg Little looked great with six catches for a 5.9 yard average. At this stage, do you see him being the number one receiver we've been searching for? Well, Greg, Trent, and talking about Greg Little, I would say that, and it was a 9.5 yard average actually. I would say that he is definitely the best receiver the Browns have by far. He, as a rookie, he's established himself as that. And he was drafted to make an impact. And I think one of the things I want to see going forward, among others, is that Greg Little gets more passes his way. He's got to be more involved. He's got to be more of a focal point of this passing game. I think Colt McCoy needs someone he can consistently trust. And I don't see that yet. You thought it was going to happen at the tight end spot. Opponents have done a good job, and Tennessee did it again yesterday, of minimizing effectiveness there. There were, if you saw Ben Watson, I mean, he was getting just manhandled trying to come off the ball. They were doing everything possible to take him away, dropping coverage deep, but there had to be that other answer somewhere in between that could still break big plays. And the one time that Colt McCoy was trying to get a big play, In the past game, he forced one, and of course, he gets taken back all the way for a pick six. Rick via Facebook asked, why did the Browns keep blitzing even though it was very ineffective? At some point in a game like this, Rick, you've got to try to make something happen. You do have to force the action. Matt Hasselbeck beat the Browns, plain and simple. They did what they set out to do in minimizing Chris Johnson. We talked about this all week long as well. Chris Johnson, don't let this be his breakout game. And it really wasn't his breakout game. The Browns' discipline and gap control up front was fine. They kept him from killing them. But then Matt Hasselbeck killed him. 36 years old, 13th year, twilight of his career. None of that mattered. He was well protected, and he had the poise, the time, the room to operate, and he did so very effectively, even without Kenny Britt. He had six receivers. He made a new focal point target of his receivers in trying to to open things up in his passing game, similar with Jared Cook, similar to what he had with Britt. So it ended up being big Jared Cook, who shouldn't have scored. I mean, when he makes that 80-yard touchdown run, and that was ugly because the tackling was so bad. The defense did its share to make the Titans offense look better. I'm not trying to take too much credit away from the Titans. They deserve it. But the Browns defense played poorly, and the tackling was poor. Pat Shurmur talked about that again today. Usama Young has to tackle Jared Cook and keep him from getting into the end zone. Plain and simple. For more of my takes, go to clevelandbrowns.com. You can also read the coverage of Matt Florjancic as well on the website. Catch all our other elements on the website. If you can't catch this show on ESPN 850 WKNR, you go to clevelandbrowns.com and you listen to it live, or you download the mobile app to your iPhone, your Android devices. Ask Vic is, covered that. Facebook questions or polls that we do each day, a new poll. And after a game, we ask you to deliver your favorite performance by a player. Hard one, I know. Game ball. This one's a reach. I'm not going to lie. And this daily question is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Posted on the Browns official Facebook page, the question, which player had the best game in the Browns 31-13 loss to the Titans? The choices, Phil Dawson, he made some nice field goals. Benjamin Watson, of course, gets a touchdown and does a few other things, despite, as I say, being really manhandled throughout the game. Mike Adams gets an interception. Brad Maynard does a nice job punting the ball. Those are the choices, and give us a reason why when you make those picks. Okay, coming up in a couple of minutes, a conversation with the one and only Bernie Kosar on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself, or visit libertyford.com.
Universal Windows Direct is back with our crazy $99 window sale.
Bill, I can't believe we're doing this. For every window you buy, you get the second one for $99.
Mike, that's almost like giving the windows away, man.
Dude, I hear you, but it's fall, home improvement time, and we don't want people to trust their windows to just any company.
I agree. We haven't even mentioned 36 months interest-free financing.
So call us right now at 216-518-8900, and we'll give you an extra 15% off.
You're killing me, Mike.
Call Universal Windows Direct. And tomorrow you'll be saying,
I love my windows.
If you're a football fan, chances are it's been a lifelong passion. Did you know that over those same years, your oral care needs have also changed? From the ages of 30 to 50, science shows that plaque formation increases 337%, dry mouth increases 304%, and gingivitis increases 22,000%. So how do you fight oral aging with the grit and determination of a sports fan? Turn to Age Essential Mouthwash. It's so strong, it's been scientifically proven to kill germs for up to 16 hours, help prevent the effects of oral aging. Fight back and stay strong with Oasis Age Essential Mouthwash, available at your local Discount Drug Mart in the oral care section.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit InfinityofBedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
The following is the actual voice of someone who reported software piracy to the Business Software Alliance. Did you fear you might get caught?
It's not as big of a chance, I guess, as everybody makes it out to be. It's just about doing the right thing and making sure that people are compensated for the work they do. I mean, it'd be the same as your company telling you that they don't want to pay you this week because you just don't feel like it.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Visit nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or go online and search BSA.
ESPN Cleveland traffic.
422 eastbound at Shaw Road, clear an accident on the outbound west shoreway at West 49th, left lane blocked with an accident. We've got 90 eastbound at 71, an accident. 71 southbound slow, west 130th to Bagley. The Innerbelt southbound slow, Dead Man's Curve to 77. 40 eastbound slow, Broadway to Warrensville Center. 40 westbound back in Tiedemann to 71. I'm Libby Rhodes, ESPN 850 WKNR traffic.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can grow.
And each week we bring him by Bernie. A visit, a couple of visits actually each week, and we love it. It's Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback. Bernie, how you doing?
Vic, I felt a little better last Monday.
Yeah, you did, I know. And Bernie, this is the thing, and I'm glad you started right there, because last week the Browns win a game they had played poorly enough to lose. They had played poorly enough through most of that game, 56, whatever it was, minutes plus, to lose. And then pull it out in memorable fashion. But I guess when you get the result, the win, you it's easy to forget what went wrong beforehand. And I guess part of me is saying part of that carries over into what we saw yesterday. But on top of the fact that this was a much better opponent, the best opponent that the Browns faced to date, one of the better teams in the league, and you just can't play poorly against the Tennessee Titans and expected anything except that result.
A couple points, questions you asked here, and unfortunately, you're right. The fact that, and we tried to talk about it on our show Friday, in kind of the pregame of the Browns Tennessee Titans, and by talking about the Tennessee defense, came in rated one of the top defenses in the league, and people, because I don't think the common fan and people understood or knew a lot of the names on the Tennessee defense, you tend to dismiss them. But at the end of the day, a lot of fans watched the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Jets play defense last night. It was pretty, pretty impressive. That's the same Baltimore Ravens that went in to Tennessee and got the same outcome as the Cleveland Browns got yesterday. Butt-kicking, beat down, take you out to the woodshed. Yeah. Your bigger brother's going to beat up on you today. And, you know, there wasn't any really one point of it other than physically they took it to us on both sides of the ball. And to your point of 56 bad minutes the previous week, but we found a way to hang in there. The Dolphins aren't a good team, though, and they're making mistakes that allowed us to stay in there. And we found a way, again, we said it last week during the show, too, the old Jimmy Johnson philosophy of somehow, some way, find a way to win. Well, we hung around last week. Matt Hasselbeck is the type of quarterback that jumped on mistakes that the Miami Dolphins didn't jump on last week. And Matt Hasselbeck closed us out in the first half yesterday and didn't give us that opportunity to hang around and come back late. And you see why he won with an inferior Seattle team who's just woeful this year, won the division last year with Matt Hasselbeck as a quarterback, and beat who I love as a quarterback, Drew Brees, in the playoffs last year. Matt Hasselbeck was brilliant yesterday. It was not a great, easy day to throw, and he was finding ways and taking advantage of defenses and plays without his favorite top-tier receiver, Kenny Britt, to make plays down the field.
Bernie, from the perspective of the Browns offense, from the perspective of the passing game to your wheelhouse, when a defense is really choking off what you are trying to do to get yourself back into this game, just the sheer absence of big plays, of difference-making things happening in both sides of the ball. This wasn't just an offensive deal, and you can't look at a team just in one half or one third, count special teams as well. So nothing really happened in any phase in the fashion that would bring them back dramatically and or get them in the game dramatically. It just was this continual separation. But from the offensive standpoint, on that choking off thing that the Titans defense did, what do you do to counter that? What are some of the things Colt McCoy going forward can focus on to improve that, or the Pat Shurmur, the coaching staff, can do to prevent that?
Well, again, when you're young and rebuilding, consistency and making plays consistently are the thing that sometimes lags behind that. And unfortunately, yesterday, you see the ramifications of what NFL teams could do to you when you're in that spot. It's why you don't want to be in this spot many more times, too much longer. I think I heard Coach Shurmur say the Browns had six significant big plays yesterday. The difference between our big plays and our kind of down the field plays and the Tennessee Titans is they got into the end zone. Their big plays ended up in scores. Ours ended up in big plays close to the red zone on the plus side of the 50. It's why we were able to hang in the game against the Dolphins. They couldn't get big plays. They couldn't get into the end zone, so it allowed us to hang around.
Yeah, and when you also think in terms of the quarterback is always going to get the first look in this regard, and yes, he had 350 yards passing, McCoy did, but the pick six is something that will haunt because it was a bad decision. It's blatant, so it's out there. It's stuck out there. And you know better than anyone that just has to be dealt with from a mental standpoint. But the other thing is style of game, holding the ball when you aren't seeing things or not feeling. So youth comes into that, but are there – Is that a guy getting used to what he's doing, just have to getting more familiar with what he's working in, and that comes along with time? Or are there some default settings that maybe can't be changed or you try to change?
No, I think he's trying. Look, when you throw it 60-plus times, picks and interceptions are going to happen. I actually think, given without the amount of timing that you would like to go into this season, a new offense, I don't want to go into ad nauseum again about the no OTAs,
right,
and no
minicamps.
Given all that, I actually think Colt's done a really good job, and the offense has done a good job not throwing interceptions. They are going to come at times, and you just got to tackle them. The other guy's got to tackle them. They just have to bring them down. But so that tends to happen. Actually, I think, and I know this would happen to me, you know, in the flow of the game, when you look at just the amount of throws and the stats, it's a little misleading because they're doing things defensively. When the game got out of reach yesterday and they're up 2-plus scores, 3-plus scores, they're playing significantly softer coverage. And then when you don't have guys, there's that soft skeleton cover too. So the crossing routes and the underneath things are unfortunately what you got to take. Bluntly, you get bored doing it. Myself, Colt, fans watching it. So it's a natural thing when you throw it that much and you're behind that much to hang on to it a split second longer, a count too long,
right,
maybe flush because you just hope something happens or there's a breakdown. Because you know you got to get a deep play. You know you can't go 75 yards on 12 plays thrown at 6 yards a play. So it's not his youth that's causing that. I think sometimes it's the game situation.
Okay.
And I think he wants to take advantage. I know he wants to go down the field a little more. But they're playing like yesterday. God, they were getting decent pressure with four guys and playing that skeleton coverage, zone coverage behind it.
Well, last thing, Bernie, and just a quick summary here. Bye week, what do you do? What do you focus on? What would you be doing in this circumstance?
Yeah, I guess the collective bargaining agreement, it is what it is. And you have to have 4 straight days off. The team could use, these young guys could use more practice this week. So you're going to work on the Browns. You're going to work on your own game, your techniques. One thing in the NFL that gets away from us is our techniques, our hand position, when you're pass protecting receivers and their releases. The single biggest thing offensively has been the separation, I feel, of the receivers separating from defensive backs. Work on early this part of the week. Work on your releases, how you handle bump coverage, how you set up different routes to get yourself that level of separation. So Colt has a chance to get me the ball in that intermediate framework of 15 to 25 yards downfield.
Great stuff. Let's catch up at the end of the week, and we'll do a kind of an overview of the whole team and take it from there. Okay, Bern?
Sounds good, Vic. Have a good one.
All right. Talk to you on Friday. That is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, making the first of his two weekly visits here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up, our roundtable discussion. And we've got a lengthy and detailed one for you with the panel. Doug Deacon, Tom Withers, yours truly. Stick around for more on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the value you're looking for at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Lease the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion or Escape for $199 a month. Your choice, 2012 Fusion or Escape for only $199. With outstanding value, quality, and technology, it's no surprise Ford is the best-selling brand in America. Large selection, guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermillion, home.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
In the world of big box retail, it's refreshing to find customer service with fair pricing. At Summit Sound and Security, they truly mean custom. Football season is here, and Summit Sound specializes in customizing your new home theater experience. Summit Sound is an authorized dealer of quality brands like LG, Samsung, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, and DirecTV. Stop in today and experience 3D TV in the new home theater showroom. Summit Sound and Security on Route 91 in Twinsburg and online at summitsound.net. At Summit, you've reached the peak.
It's time for the MMA Minute, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports.
Last Saturday at UFC on Versus 6, UFC bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz successfully defended his title, besting Demetrius Johnson via five-round unanimous decision. Meanwhile, this Saturday is UFC 136, and it features a double main event. First, the UFC featherweight championship will be on the line as Jose Aldo defends his title against Kenny Florian. Then in the main event, UFC lightweight champion Frankie Edgar meets Gray Maynard for the third time. The last time they met was a split draw at UFC 125.
The MMA Minute with Jordan Sherwood, presented by Time Warner Cable Events On Demand. Unleash the power of your sports fan with Time Warner Cable Sports. Get the latest MMA news by listening to Inside the Cage, Saturday mornings at 11 on ESPN 1540 KNR2.
Have a passion for health and fitness? Rather be in the gym than in office? Change lives by sharing that passion. Stoutzenberger College is introducing a new program this fall designed just for you. Personal fitness training. Make your dreams come true. Fall enrollment ends October 14th. Call Stoutzenberger College at 440-838-1999 or visit learnwhatyoulove.com. See what everybody's talking about. For information about the college graduation rates, median debt, and more, visit learnwhatyoulove.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify and eligible veterans can utilize their Montgomery DI bill.
Woo! Northeast Ohio! It's Dean Mike D'Amato from the Nissan and North Olmsted University here, and class is in session. Today's lesson, how to get the best deal on a new Nissan. Are you kidding me? Just come to Nissan and North Olmsted. Our number two pencils are sharpened to a fine point to give you the lowest prices in town. Even my main man, the professor, please, Larry Fu Manchupa, will teach you a thing or two about saving cash. He must be smart. He was always in the principal's office, like up to $10,000 off a new Nissan. $10,000 off, or 0% APR. And you don't need a calculator to do that math, do you? That's like free money. Are you kidding me? So if you're at any other dealer, anywhere, and they ain't making the grade, put up your hand and give them an F. and then head to the top of the class at Nissan and North Olmsted, because the deals are so good. 855-55-NISSON or BigNissan.com. Class dismissed.
Qualified buyers with approved credit. No rebates and incentives. Stock purchases only. See dealer for details.
Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. Folks, this year, don't fumble your home improvement projects with another company. Hand it off to the winning team at Universal Windows Direct. Since 2002, Universal has been Cleveland's number one pick for quality vinyl replacement windows. And this month, you will score with their $99 window sale. For every window you buy, the second window you get for just $99. Plus, go along with 0% financing for up to 36 months, and you may still be eligible for the 2011 Energy Tax Credit. For a free estimate, call 216-518-8900. With Universal Windows Direct, you'll be saying, I love my windows. This roundtable segment is driven by Liberty Ford. And we've assembled the roundtable to take a look at yesterday's loss to the Titans. With us, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network.
Glad to be here.
And Tom Withers from the Associated Press.
Hi, Vic. Good to see you.
Good to have both of you here as we take a look at this one. A lot to go through. Maybe the place to start is some of the news of the day, which involves injuries and a surgery with, and I think the one that caught everyone is Alex Mack, an appendectomy. Doug, looking at it from an O-line perspective, I mean, I didn't think things could get much worse after seeing what happened yesterday, but having the starting center deal with this is not a good thing, obviously.
Well, no, it's not a good thing. And the thing is, I think he had some issues prior that kind of told him it was coming. And, you know, he sucked it up and he played for 87 snaps yesterday. And you give him credit. But, yeah, it's not a good situation because, you know, I don't know what the recovery time is for appendicitis.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be a week or two, or as Tony Pascha said, no time. He thinks Alex is going to be able to get right back out there. Apparently, he was queasy most of the day yesterday, so he really kind of bit the bullet and sucked it up and played through it.
And, you know, from the standpoint of what a center means to your team, your starting center, you saw the Jets against the Ravens. That's the first thought that went through my mind is you take Nick Mangold out of the lineup and they get overwhelmed by the Ravens.
Well, not only that, you get a big fat nose tackle on your head every play, and you know he's also the guy that makes the calls. And you know when you stick your thumb in the dike one place, you're making it weaker elsewhere. And when you brush five people, then all of a sudden you got an issue.
Now, I think as fans and obviously those of us in the press box, we never really had a great appreciation for what goes into being a center when they come to the line and have to identify the middle linebacker, and then they're calling all kinds of protections out and blocking schemes and what have you. It's very complicated. So, yeah, that'd be a big loss if they lost Alex for any time at all.
And it's a much more complex thing than it used to be. I mean, the defense is now run, you know, looks like what Rob Ryan used to run here. It's really tough to sort them out. So, you know, having a center that's, you know, sharp is very important.
And not and beyond that, you know, a center playing at a Pro Bowl level.
He's been a constant and a key part of what that offensive line is all about, the glue. Another potential blow is that of Joe Hayden at corner. And certainly thinking of him being out any extended period, if that's the case, is hard to fathom because of what he means to that defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's arguably been the best player the Browns have had this season. You know, he's been terrific back there. You know, I noticed that he had a little issue early in the game that was getting looked at. I thought it was his right foot, and then was out there, and apparently he made, you know, he sprained the knee on that tackle on the 57-yard play. So, yeah, another big blow.
Yeah, but the good, I guess, the silver lining is when they picked up Dimitri Patterson, all of a sudden they've got a cornerback that he's great in the nickel, and I think he could go out there and, you know, hold the court till Joe comes back.
Hold up a little bit. I you know, it's not having Joe Hayden out there, but it is, you know, having someone. Josh Cribbs with a knee sprain as well. On the heels of that 31-13 loss, you just start to say, man, I mean, it was like a snowball effect.
Yeah, and you know, and sure enough, it comes a week after, you know, they finally had, you know, some missing pieces back. Right. You know, Pashos was back out there. You know, Pat even commented a few times last week, And we've got more guys out here at practice than we've had all year. So, yeah, not the news you want to hear right after a tough loss.
And it's the positions in which they play. I mean, you know, when you get a Joe Hayden, a guy that's, you know, counts on his speed, that's a tough position to have a knee sprain. If you're an offensive lineman, you might be able to, you know, get through with it.
Well, as far as this game is concerned, heading into a bye to chew on this thing for a couple of weeks, not the easiest thing to do, but we just talked about these injuries, so there is some time to heal, but more than anything, there has to be time to repair. And I guess the question becomes, what do you do? How do you go about this process? It sounds to me, and listening to Pat Shurmur talk earlier today, that there's some fundamental work that needs to be done right to the number one thing he listed, and that is tackling. And Doug, I distinctly remember you saying in last week's show that, you know, good tackling would be such a big key against this Tennessee team.
Well, it was. And I mean, if you look at the big plays, especially the one to the tight end, I mean, that was a, you know, would have been a 20-yard gain and turns out to be an 80-yard touchdown. The other big play to Nate Washington, the 57-yard, it was an illegal pick. I mean, the media tried to, you know, bait Pat on it today, but Pat didn't buy on it. I mean, he, you know, he doesn't want to give the money to the thing, but I mean, it's obvious. The guy dipped his shoulder into him, and it's illegal. But with that said, you know, they caught him in the man coverage, you know, one of the times over there, and it worked for him. The other, I guess, there was three big plays. The other one is the interception for 97 yards. You know, you can't have a guy go up the sidelines 97 yards and not anybody, you know, knock him down. It's not like it's the turnpike over there.
Yeah, I don't know how they missed the pick play, but I don't know if people realize the umpire had gotten hurt a couple plays into the game. So that officiating crew was a man short, which probably didn't help matters either.
No, and maybe that was a factor in that. But overall, it looked like after, look, for at least two straight games, Indy game, Miami game, the defense was playing over its head at times and just consistently well at times to keep the Browns in the game. I mean, they were saving this team's butt through a 2-1 start. And then it just all collapsed. Now, how much of that was just a matchup problem? They just came up against an opponent that was better and maybe up front just in more physical and diminishing the impact that front four that the Browns had for a couple of weeks. It looked to me that maybe it just started there, Deke, in terms of the physicality of the Titans' offensive line.
Well, you know, I think one thing on the defensive side, they did a good job of keeping Colt McCoy in the pocket. I mean, they brought their ends up the field. You didn't see them have the ability to bootleg like we have in previous games. They had it well planned. And with that said, you know they're going to see that in the future, so they're going to have to come up with a plan B in that regards. You know, the big plays, the missed tackles. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, if you tackle Shirley, you only got 20 yards and you don't have the deficit. You know, somebody, you know, talked about Pat getting a little pass half. I tell you what, I know Pat didn't want to pass 61 times. Right. He's a former offensive lineman. Told me, offensive linemen do not want to pass 61 times in a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, just got into an unfortunate situation. But I think, you know, as you look at it, we've got to find a way to stretch the field. We've got to get the people down the field so that we have underneath stuff there so we can hit guys, you know, in running their routes,
right,
not where they're standing still. And I thought, you know, Tennessee did a real good job of keeping everything in front of us yesterday. And the win yesterday, I think, made it where nobody really threw a deep ball for the most part. I think the win was a factor
and
there.
And I think we did undersell the Titans a little bit last week. I mean, here's a team that, you know, still had a lot of good pieces coming back, obviously bringing in, a veteran quarterback in Hasselbeck. And I think you saw yesterday how productive an offense could be with a veteran quarterback and young receivers. They didn't miss Kenny Britt, at all.
No. Well, and everybody said, you know, the Ravens were flat after they beat the Steelers. Yeah. Well, maybe the Ravens weren't flat. Maybe the Tennessee Titans just took it to them. And I think, you know, you sit there and you say, now that gives it credibility. Then you see Baltimore dismantle the Jets last night. So, you know, it's kind of a loose deck right now.
It is a loose deck in trying to figure out any sort of trends or rhymes or reasons. But I'll say this much. Yeah, I think where the Titans had people drop their guard is they go on the road and lose to Jacksonville in the opener. Again, the opener after this weird offseason where there wasn't a chance to really work with anybody, get to know your team, And that's affecting a lot of teams, including this one, including this Browns team. But another thing that stuck with me after the game last night, I had a chance to see Matt Hasselbeck before he got on the bus and known him for a long time. And I just said, not bad for a 36-year-old quarterback. He goes, who's 36? There's nobody here 36 years old. And then I said to him, what was the key? He said, the key, pass pro. He said it was just having that opportunity to see everything and feel. Now, he got the ball out quickly, but
yeah, Deke,
he had the integrity of that line, which, again, takes us back to the idea that they did a really good job against a defensive front that, for the better part of three games, was getting some pressure, was getting some penetration. So there's some big guys up there, a veteran quarterback who knows what he's doing. And, yeah, he takes away Kenny Britt, but he distributes the ball to six guys, throws touchdown passes to three different receivers. That's what a 36-year-old quarterback who hasn't hit the wall yet can do.
Yeah, I mean, the experience showed. I mean, he knew, you know, where the weakness was in the defense. And on the one crossing route to Cook, I mean, he hit him. I don't think he thought it was going to be an 80-yarder, but when you miss the tackle. But the other thing, I think defensively, when you lose a player like Kenny Britt, you're kind of going into the game guessing, what are they going to do now? Because they've got to compensate for this guy. Who's going to be the guy they go to? Is it going to be Nate Washington? Well, it wasn't. It was just a little bit of everybody.
Right.
I was really impressed with the way Hasselbeck just kind of threw to a spot at times, too. I was like, okay, where's that going exactly? And sure enough, there'd be a receiver there. So, yeah, and, you know, and, hey, Chris Palmer had a nice game plan.
He did.
I mean, he exposed the Browns in some areas. I thought, you know, the linebackers got off to kind of a rough start yesterday. They seemed to regroup a little bit. But, yeah, they, you know, it was well executed. Good for them.
When we take this thing, this is the roundtable, by the way, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. When we take this thing back to offense, I think one of the things that will still stick out is the fact that there was no ability to make plays downfield. Now, we can attribute it to a team that played a lot of deep coverage, sure, and tighten things up front, sure, to concentrate on minimizing the impact of Ben Watson, but you've got to find a way. I mean, obviously every defense can play every offense in ways to prevent big plays, but there are big time quarterbacks who make those plays. Colt McCoy is still finding his way.
Well, he's still finding his way, but the other part of that equation is you've got to have receivers that can beat one-on-one coverage.
Yeah.
And they've got a great secondary. I mean, Finnegan's good. McCartney is good. The safeties are good. And there was one time yesterday, you know, Colt double pumped because he had single coverage on the left side, but he just kept pumping and pumping because the guy wasn't beating the coverage. Mm. And, you know, that's, you know, that gets down to it's a two-sided thing. You know, you got to have the receivers that can get open when the opportunity's there.
I know the fans have been harping on that. Believe me, I get tweets all day long about the Browns and their inability to stretch the field, and it's something we've talked about for a couple years now. You know, without a legitimate deep threat, you know, your safeties are never retreating. They're always coming forward. So, you know, it's something that's going to have to be, you know, again, this evolving offense. It's something they're going to have to figure out.
We're just getting started on the roundtable with Doug Deacon of the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers of the Associated Press. When we come back, we are going to, yep, give out some game balls. I know it's going to be hard. Deacon's going to have to really bite his lip to do this after a 31-13 loss. But we're going to do that, talk more about what the Browns need to do during this bye week to fix some things and review a little bit about what this team is about after four games. Stick around. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. With over 30 years in Northeast Ohio, it's certain Liberty Ford will make your next vehicle purchase an easy one. A friendly and knowledgeable staff paired with high-quality customer service makes the Liberty experience impossible to beat. Plus, their guaranteed financing, award-winning service department, and body shop just add to it. Visit Liberty Ford today or go to libertyford.com.
Quaker Steak and Lube is now the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Lube wings are now available at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Whether you're watching the game live or stopping into your local Quaker Steak and Lube, be sure you're getting your Best Wings USA fix every game day. Watching the game at home, the Lube has you covered. Call ahead or order online to pick up your Lube wings at the pickup wingo window. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
At First Merit Bank, getting to know our customers is important to us. So how do we do it? Well, it's simple. By listening, learning, understanding your business, and by turning all those things into a real, roll up our sleeves, working together to achieve your future goals kind of relationship. So let's start now. Hey, how about that game? Let's get to know each other. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
If you've suffered the loss of a loved one, the attorneys at Russo Rosalina & Company will promptly handle the estate for you. They represent hundreds of clients in estate and guardianship cases every year. Been in practice for over 32 years and have represented over 100,000 people in Northeast Ohio. There is a common misconception that probate takes years, not with Russo Rosalina & Company. Call 440-461-8500, 440-461-8500, or rrlpa.com. RRLPA.com.
Tune in to Mike and Mike every morning. Brought to you by Cleveland Clinic Sports Health.
Tune in to ESPN 850 WKNR weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns versus Seahawks, October 23rd. Tickets are going fast. Get yours at ClevelandBrowns.com today. The Cleveland Browns and ESPN Cleveland. It's always football season.
And we thank you so much for being part of this day with Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube. We're going to be coming up with the second half of our roundtable discussion in just a few moments here, but Cleveland Browns single-game tickets are going fast. So purchase your tickets before it's too late. That includes the upcoming Browns-Seahawks matchup on Sunday, October 23rd, at 1 p.m. For more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com today. And we're back on the roundtable with Doug Deacon of the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers of the Associated Press as we look back at yesterday's 31-13 loss to the Titans and also review where the Browns are after four games. Before we get big picture, let's get into some specifics. Peyton Hillis makes his return from that illness, from the strep throat that kept him out of the Miami game. And basically, I thought it looked reasonably well for a guy who had missed the game and had said he'd lost some weight previously and was sick. Maybe Montario Hardesty, who had played so well in Hillis's place a week ago, wasn't as much a factor in terms of performance. I mean, didn't play as well as we saw him play as in his starting debut the previous week.
Well, I think, you know, going into the game, their idea was they were going to have to attack the defense in the running game on the edge. And I think, you know, Montario gives them a little bit more quickness to the outside than Peyton. Peyton's more of a get your shoulder squared and, you know, bang in there. So I think, you know, that's probably one of the reasons we saw a little bit more of Montario. I know a lot of people are trying to make it out to be something else, but I think game plan wise, I think that was the reason that, you know, we saw, you know, that much of him. But you know, he dropped a couple passes, and it was a case that looked like where he was trying to peek up the field before he caught the ball, and that's, you know, something that a guy that hasn't played for a year and a half is, you know, it's one of those things that you got to evolve in. But one of the more impressive things that that Montario did yesterday was Alex Mack got screwed up on the snap count, snapped the ball early, and Joe Thomas was standing there, and, you know, the guy just went by him because he thought it was on the next one.
Right.
And Montario came over and picked up that end before he clobbered Colt McCoy. So, you know, he showed some alertness. But getting back to Peyton, you know, Peyton ran hard yesterday, and I think, you know, the interception that Colt threw that was returned was to Peyton down at the 3-yard line.
Right.
You know, sometimes when you get a running back that far down the field, you're kind of out of water, but it wasn't Peyton's fault. It was just a bad throw.
And he did seem to be open early on that. He kind of ran a seam route down the left side, and I don't think Colt saw him initially. And then by the time he rolled out, there was already coverage, and then Colt thought he was going to come back for that ball, and he didn't. I thought it was a little puzzling early on, you know. You know, Peyton was on the field for a little bit, and
right.
And Coach Shurmur was asked about the contract situation today,
right.
And he was adamant, Vic, that you know, Peyton's playing time is not, you know, related to that whatsoever. So, and I believe that, you know, they're trying to put the best guys out there again, you know, with the development of Hardesty recently, they're trying to figure out what is the best match here. Right. You know, should we play these guys together? I was a little puzzled that Hillis wasn't on the field for that fourth and one or didn't get the ball on that fourth and one. Sure, he was stopped at third and one, but I thought their best chance at that point was to give him the ball again, try to get some push up front. But, yeah, you know, it's, again, you know, we come back to the, how this offense is evolving. They're still trying to figure out what works best at what time.
You know, and it was interesting because one of the questions among the many questions that were asked in light of the ESPN report that, you know, claimed that this was somehow tied to his contract negotiation with the Browns. And right, I think Pat Shurmur handled that beautifully and basically saying, you know, that makes no sense. You don't make decisions as a coach based on any of that. And I totally agree. But in terms of others taking it the step that, can you understand why fans look at his not being the prominent part of this offense as something unusual or hard to swallow because he was the man last year, or he had emerged as the man last year? And to Shurmur's point, he says, you know, again, I wasn't here last year, and I can't appreciate that, and his mind isn't working like that. He isn't doing a comparative thing. He's looking at the big picture as it applies to the offense he's designing. And, Doug, it seems to me that they're in his view of this offense, it is two backs, it is a change-up type of thing, and it's not leaning on a big hammer play after play like the Browns of 2010 did.
No, and getting back to what I said originally, asking some of the coaches, you know, before the game, I said, where do you attack them? They said attack them on the running game on the outside. So what is your best option to get out there the quickest you can? It would have been Montero Hardesty. Well, it wasn't working all that well, so we did see, and I think if you look at it, I think Hillis had 10 carries, Hardesty had just 7. As far as, you know, throwing the ball, I think they threw it to Montero 9 times, and they threw it to Peyton 6 times. So it was about a 50-50 day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're having a 50-50 day with a guy who is a power, mostly straight-ahead guy, and another one who gives you that outside option, again, that horizontal running style, the speed, you're giving a defense multiple things to think about. And I mean, in that, from that standpoint, you are – you're balanced, but you're making you're putting them off balance.
Right, Vic, and this is what we talked about last week. That's what the good teams do. The good teams have, you know, 4, 5, and 6 weapons. So I did like the way that, you know, obviously down 24-6, you've got no choice but to throw the ball. But I thought, you know, and they kind of dinked and dunked their way down the field. But, you know, it also gave a chance to see a little bit more of Greg Little and have Colt try to, you know, develop a little bit more chemistry with these guys. This is all still very new.
This is the Roundtable. We're visiting with Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers of the Associated Press, as we always do here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. In terms of this receiving game and what can be done during this bye, I think, the head coach starts with tackling and fundamentals there, and that makes sense. But in terms of getting people to get open, the guy... I look at the receiving core, and the one guy that I just think is you don't have much question about other than the fact he's a rookie is Greg Little. On talent, he looks like a guy who can and will get open more, more often than others, and should be seeing the ball more often.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy that gives you that yards after the catch that I think you're looking for. And I think, you know, just – you know, the timing of it is just, it's something that's going to take a while to come about. And yesterday there were times where it didn't seem look like the window was there. And, you know, I thought Colt pumped the ball more yesterday than I've seen him doing the previous weeks.
Yeah.
And if you look at the stats yesterday, you know, you'd say, gosh, we won. You look at the stats from the Miami game, you'd say, geez, I thought we lost. So you could take the stat sheet and just throw it out the window.
And let's be honest, you know, I think the 57 minutes of bad football a week earlier, I mean, that may have masked some problems that we, you know, that people weren't ready to accept. So, you know, I was laughing yesterday. My 13-year-old's got it figured out. He texted me during the game, Dad, throw the ball to Little every single play and we'll win. So I'm going to make sure that Pat hears about that this week.
Yeah, you should. He's because he always seeks that advice from the media. But no, I do agree. And I think it's something this coaching staff comes to the realization of. And as far as Mohamed Massaqua goes, still kind of dealing with that bad ankle, you know, still trying to fight his way through.
And now a shoulder on top of it.
And now a shoulder on top of it. So that added to things. And I think, he looked like he was moving okay, but you wonder in terms of full health. So giving him an extra week to rest has got to be a good thing. And ultimately evolving, it's the little Mo-Mas type of combination. I don't know where Josh Cribbs factors in beyond those nice bubble screens. It looks like that's really where he's carved his niche, and that's a good thing to have too, another option to have. But that's not something you're necessarily living on. You're not stretching defenses.
Well, but by the same token, Josh the week before makes a great catch in the end zone. So I think, you know, the think that he's just a bubble screen guy is wrong. I mean, to me, he's the guy, if you catch him on a slant where he's got a full head of steam, he can do some damage.
When we hear players who are asked about how much they're used, how their participation, and that, of course, was asked of Peyton Hillis, and he gave the, asked the head coach response. The question was posed to Evan Moore at tight end about his limited opportunities, and he basically answered it the same way. Fair, right? I think that's how he basically went about it. You wonder then, okay, well, what's going on here? Guys, it's about a team. It's about coaches and players being on the same page, and you don't like to hear that. I mean, it's a little troubling to hear that. Is that something, Doug, in an extra week's time, that veterans on this team, it's a young team, but who fill that veteran leadership role, have some conversations and just sort of take that stuff away?
I think you can look at it in two ways. You can also look at it as the guy saying, hey, yeah, I'd like to have more snaps. But it's not my decision. I can't just put myself in the game. So, I think you make...
That's the right answer, basically?
Yeah, I mean, you make too much out of it. If he sits there and he starts whining and says, geez, I didn't get enough snaps, I'm a good player, then you sound like a real idiot. So I think, the basic company line is, it's coach speak. I mean, that's how coach would talk.
Right. Yeah. We the company media line, put these guys in a bad spot. We do have to ask those questions after a game, which when you're asking a guy, I mean, anybody would want to feel like their boss feels that they're worthy of doing a good job.
Sure.
And so, in the emotion after a game, sometimes these questions are presented to these guys, and I give them a lot of credit for answering them.
Yeah, I do too. And there isn't an easy way, especially in the aftermath of that kind of a lopsided loss.
I've never heard a guy say I played too much.
Although,
if you're an offensive lineman, if we'd have thrown the ball 61 times the previous 2 weeks against Freenian Mathis or against Jason Taylor and Wake, they might have said he played too much.
And speaking of throwing the ball a lot, I mean, McCoy took some shots again yesterday, and I think that's something this team's going to have to really watch over the next few weeks. He took some shots in that Miami game as well. So, you got to worry about a guy, the we've seen that here in Cleveland over the years, the toll that that's going to take week after week of taking shots.
Well, the next team they face, the Raiders, certainly have a very good pass rush. Yeah. I mean, that is one thing they do is get to the quarterback. That game is on the road. Making it doubly difficult. Playing in the black hole in Oakland will not make it any easier to hear and for the offensive linemen to get set and do their thing for the Browns. So, the chore looks like it's going to just mount as we go forward. All right, let's give some game balls away here. I know it's against your religion, Doug, to do this after this kind of any loss, but we do have to do it. So who are you looking to from this game?
Well, I'm going to give Alex Mack for, playing with what he had. I think you got to give somebody credit that when you get an IVs before the game and you go out and play, then the next day you go and get the appendectomy for your appendicitis. You give him credit. Phil Dawson, he kicked a 51 yarder. I mean, in that wind, that's a pretty good day. And, DeQuell had another nice day with, 10 tackles.
Doug stole a little of my thunder, but that's okay. I can defer to him anytime. Those would be my picks as well. And finding out what Alex Mack dealt with yesterday, for him to play, 87 snaps or whatever it was. And one of my colleagues last week actually noticed Alex getting sick during practice last week. So he's been dealing with some stuff for a while there. But I came in intent not to give out any game balls, but I think Doug's three selections are perfect.
Yeah, and we're going to have, by the way, the fans will give away their game balls. They're posted on the Browns official Facebook page. We'll announce those later in the show. I'm going with, this was tough for me, too, to find anybody to give any game ball to. But I like the Dawson pick, dealing with the wins, dealing with his steadiness. I thought he showed it right off the bat with that first field goal. To give them that first quarter lead that they haven't had all season,
That was really money.
First quarter points.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
Well, you know, Vic, and I always watched before the game what those conditions are like for those guys. Wow. And, man, it was just incredible. I mean, and Baronis, you could see, was having a real tough time out there.
But did you see how the ball on the way through the goalpost, did this
I always ask Phil, what's it like today? And, you know, talk to Phil, it's like the world's going to end, you know. But he said it was moving 5 yards. I mean, that. And then you think about the passing game, you're throwing the ball down the field. Now you know why it was kind of a condensed passing game yesterday.
And one more for me. I want to give one to Ben Watson. Not just because that was it was a meaningless touchdown. This guy was getting just mugged all day long. The Titans did everything they could to minimize his impact, and they obviously succeeded. And he still got some catches still was able to do a little something. And I thought he was working probably as much under duress as anybody on that Browns team.
You're a generous man, Ben.
I am. I'm trying to giving away two after a game like this is probably the wrong thing, but oh well. All right, it's not my money. All right, very good. Guys, enjoyed it very much to go through this, and or maybe I didn't enjoy it, but we had to do it. And then we will convene again next week. We won't do anything, obviously, on Friday as we normally do, but we'll convene again next week. The roundtable, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Ohio's largest selection of Ford trucks at Liberty, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Like Northeast Ohio's best-selling trucks, Ford F-Series and Ranger, Liberty Ford has hundreds of fuel-efficient Rangers in stock now, available with 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 in rebates. That's 0 for 60, plus $1,000 on Ford Ranger. Guaranteed financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runouts, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
It's a fact Fox 8 viewers agree on.
Fox 8 News is different.
There's more to news than just the news.
They make us feel like we're at home with them or they're at home with us, and it's a great feeling to have that.
They're like friends and neighbors that I have that I bring into my living room when I want to see the news.
And there's more to a forecast than just toys and gadgets.
I don't know, when you hear Dick Otter's name, you smile because he's a legend.
There's a difference. Cleveland's own Fox 8 News.
If your company copies software illegally, your company is breaking the law. Report software piracy confidentially to the Business Software Alliance by the end of the year, and you may be eligible for a cash reward. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or visit nopiracy.org.
At Liberty Mutual, we believe in taking the time to understand your needs so you can get the coverage that's right for you. Find a local office at libertymutual.com/agents to speak to an agent today. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy?
If you're a football fan, chances are it's been a lifelong passion. Did you know that over those same years, your oral care needs have also changed? From the ages of 30 to 50, science shows that plaque formation increases 337%, dry mouth increases 304%, and gingivitis increases 22,000%. So how do you fight oral aging with the grit and determination of a sports fan? Turn to Age Essential Mouthwash. It's so strong, it's been scientifically proven to kill germs for up to 16 hours, help prevent the effects of oral aging. Fight back and stay strong with Oasis Age Essential Mouthwash, available at your local Discount Drug Mart in the oral care section.
Hurt in a car? Call KNR. 1-800-HURT-NOW. Kissling, Nestico, and Reddick.
It's going to happen and you can't stop it. No, I'm not talking about unwanted friend requests on the internet. I'm talking about cold and flu season. So be prepared to fight back. Walmart has low prices every day on everything you need to stay healthy, like Theraflu 6 count for $4.97, Mucinex and Lysol disinfectant spray. So stock up now, because cold and flu season will be here before you know it. As far as those unwanted friend requests, just tell them you have the flu and you don't want to get germs all over your keyboard. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses direct to keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
Guess where I'm going?
I'm going too.
Wondering where everyone's going? Find out why more than 1,000 students have transferred to Lourdes.
I finally made the switch.
Transferring to Lourdes is easy. We offer transfer scholarships, financial aid assistance, and no expiration on transfer credits. Come on, join our community with numerous bachelor and master degree programs, small class sizes, and convenient parking.
That was so easy.
Transfer and enroll today. Discover a new you. Discover Lourdes University, lourdes.edu.
Back on Cleveland Browns Daily. This segment is driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game, and it's time to deliver our poll question results brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. As we do after every game, we ask you to pick out the game balls that you would award and which player had the best game from the Browns 31-13 loss to the Titans. I know it wasn't easy. Phil Dawson, Ben Watson, Mike Adams, Brad Maynard were the choices we put up there on the Browns official Facebook page. You voted. 89% of you said Phil Dawson. And the comments, these are some decent ones. Austin said Dawson is the player we can count on every year, every game. I agree with that. Joseph said time to regroup. Having a bye this early will definitely help. And Jason, good perspective, Jason. He says, listen, we're all Browns fans. Year in and year out, we have experienced this kind of hardship before, and that needs to happen. What needs to happen, I think is what he meant, is for the Browns to take all the bad and leave it in the bye week and come out fresh the week after. I believe in what the Browns are doing this season. We just need to have patience. All right, Jason. Some questions for Ask Vic on the Browns Fish Facebook page. Justin, what is it that you think that keeps us from winning at home? I don't know that it's a home or an away phenomenon. I hate to think it's what the Dolphins are going through. I think when you're struggling, you're struggling, okay? And I think you can struggle on the road just as easily with some of the things that were going wrong yesterday for the Browns. Mark asks, do you believe this bye week will benefit the Browns? It has to, Mark. There's a lot to fix, and the extra week, I think, is a good time. Also, getting people healthy. We know all the people who are hurt. So we want to thank Bernie Kosar. We want to thank Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. We want to thank Kristen Rebelli. We want to thank Jameer Howerton and Dave DiNatale and Will Birch. And we'll do this again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.